isn't life beautiful? Isn't life gay? Isn't life the perfect thing to pass the time away?
My personal life has nothing to do with the job that the town hired me to do.
Gays and lesbians cannot have children. Biologically, it's impossible. They can recruit.
The reason the numbers have changed so dramatically is because everybody in America now has experience with someone who is gay.
What a country.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Same-gender couples win rights in Mexico and Alaska. A fired lesbian police chief has friends in town, but no enda in sight. And modern musings on mainstream news. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 26, 2014. Mexico's Supreme Court declared this week that laws in the state of Oaxaca defining civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual, to perpetuate the species, are unconstitutional. It ruled that the 39 same-gender couples who collectively sued for the right to marry could do so in the state immediately. The same tribunal in 2012 ruled in favor of three Oaxaca same-gender couples who separately sought legal recourse, known as an amparo in the Mexican judicial system, that would allow them to marry. Specific marriage equality legislation has not passed in Oaxaca, however, so other lesbian and gay couples can legally marry in the state only by citing the federal ruling in seeking a judge's order to authorize it. Similar court-ordered civil marriages have also been granted in the Mexican states of Chihuahua, Jalisco, and Yucatan. Lawmakers opened civil marriage to all lesbian and gay couples in the state of Quintana Roo in 2011. Less-than-marriage civil unions are available to same-gender couples in several other states. Mexico City became the first in the country to legislatively open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples in 2010. The nation's high court subsequently declared that all 31 states must recognize those marriages and, by extension, the marriages of same-gender couples who've legally wed in other Mexican jurisdictions.
The highest court in Alaska has ruled that same-gender couples with at least one qualifying partner are entitled to the same state property tax exemptions for senior citizens and disabled veterans as heterosexually married couples. Alaska law allows disabled veterans and seniors who are 65 years or older to deduct the first $150,000 of the assessed value of their primary homes from property tax payments. The state Supreme Court's April 25th ruling upholds a lower court decision in a case originally filed in 2010 by three same-gender couples who sued the state and the city of Anchorage for taxation equality.
The notoriously anti-gay National Organization for Marriage has won its 11th hour appeal to intervene in a case challenging the constitutionality of the state of Oregon's ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples. Federal Judge Michael McShane heard oral arguments in the case earlier in the week, although the state sided with plaintiffs and refused to defend the ban. The judge said he wouldn't rule on the case until he considers the request by the National Organization for Marriage to argue in favor of the ban. "We're very pleased that the judge has agreed to hear us out," the group's president, Brian Brown, said in a media statement. "On May 14th, we get to make our argument before the court, and we look forward to mounting a vigorous defense of traditional marriage."
Elsewhere, North Korea's state news agency has dismissed a critical report by the United Nations Commission of Inquiry into Human Rights in North Korea, with homophobic slurs against the man who led the investigation. An official statement called Michael Kirby, a former justice of the High Court of Australia, a disgusting old lecher with a 40-odd-year-long career of homosexuality. This practice can never be found in the DPRK boasting of sound mentality and good morals. It is ridiculous for such a gay to sponsor dealing with other human rights issues. As the Washington Post noted, North Korean propaganda is well known for its flowery language and insults against foreign critics. but it may have been the first time that the state news agency has used the word homosexual since it began posting statements online. Gay people officially don't exist in North Korea, and most of the insular nation's citizens think of homosexuality as a foreign concept.
We've got updates on several stories we've been following. The government of Brunei seemingly reacted to international condemnation this week by delaying implementation of a new penal code, scheduled to take effect on April 22nd, which includes death by stoning for adultery, insulting Islam, and consensual adult gay sex. But officials said it would go into effect soon after Sultan Muda Hasnal Bolkiah returns from his visit to Singapore. As the ruling head of state, he leads all agencies of the government. Brunei is a Muslim monarchy that gained independence from the UK in 1984. Gay sex is currently punishable in the small Southeast Asian nation by up to 10 years in prison.
The Chief Justice of India's Supreme Court has agreed to hear an appeal of the ruling by two junior justices that reinstated laws against consensual adult same-gender sex in the world's second most populous country. A 2009 decision by the Delhi High Court declared the British colonial era Penal Code Section 377 that outlaws unnatural sex to be unconstitutional. But the two-judge panel of the Apex Court overturned that ruling in December, thereby recriminalizing gay sex. The current effort, known as a curative petition, will be considered by a five-judge panel that includes two judges who rejected an earlier review petition. But the others will be the three most senior judges on the court. A date for oral arguments is expected to be announced soon. LGBT advocates are hoping that last week's Supreme Court ruling by another two-judge panel that ordered life-changing rights and protections for transgender people will influence the ruling in the Section 377 case. It's the last chance in the foreseeable future to have the anti-gay law overturned, since there are no realistic prospects for repeal in Parliament.
A judge in the U.S. state of Kansas ruled this week that the transgender army private convicted of leaking government files to the anti-secrecy WikiLeaks website can legally change her name to Chelsea Elizabeth Manning. The former Bradley Edward Manning was sentenced in 2013 to 35 years behind bars for providing more than 700,000 government documents and video files to WikiLeaks. Her supporters in and outside of the LGBT community call Manning's whistleblowing heroic, while detractors call her a traitor. She's currently serving her sentence in the Army prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Her case is on appeal.
The Boy Scouts of America has revoked the charter of a Seattle, Washington area Methodist church for supporting its openly gay scoutmaster, Jeff McGrath. The youth organization recently began accepting openly gay members under the age of 18, but any gay person older than that continues to be barred from adult leadership positions. The BSA said that children in Troop 98 were no longer part of the Boy Scout network because the Rainier Beach United Methodist Church had refused to remove McGrath, an Eagle Scout, as scoutmaster. Boy Scouts national spokesman Darren Smith told reporters that his group took the action because the church no longer agrees to the terms of the BSA Chartered Organization Agreement, which includes following BSA policies. The pastor of the equality-supporting Rainier Beach United Methodist Church, Reverend Monica Corsaro, said they are currently exploring other options for the Scouts and Cub Scouts of Troop 98, and that her congregation's stance against discrimination had not been respected.
The infamous anti-homosexuality law in Uganda may require healthcare workers, including those at HIV/AIDS clinics, to report LGBT clients to the police. A draft of new guidelines for healthcare workers signed by Uganda's Director General of Health Services makes those workers, according to a BuzzFeed report, frontline enforcers of the newly passed Anti-Homosexuality Act. Citing a provision in the law that cites aiding or abetting homosexuality, the guidelines also warn healthcare workers that, in the event of promotion or recruitment, they shall be held accountable.
But finally, in a delicious bit of irony, a homophobic writer argues that Pastor Martin Sempa, notorious in Uganda for screening graphic gay porn during his seminars and rallies against homosexuality, should himself be prosecuted for violating the anti-homosexuality law. In an article for Uganda's first-class magazine, Paul Kalisa of Mbarara University of Science and Technology complains that Sempa seems obsessed with gay porn. There was a time when homosexuality was a taboo subject. No one discussed it openly, he writes. Sempa has managed to change that. The homos must now be smiling well, knowing that Sempa is more of a blessing to them than a curse. Calling him Uganda's number one promoter of the vice, Kalisa says Sempa gives them free adverts, and he has created more of the same thing he says he is trying to fight.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending April 26, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Rick Watts.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
I think this legislation that I've dealt with as chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee long before I was back into leadership is unnecessary and would provide a basis for frivolous lawsuits. People are already protected in the workplace.
Speaker of the House of Representatives John Boehner may not see the need for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, which would outlaw workplace discrimination in the United States based on sexual orientation or gender identity. But former Latta, South Carolina Police Chief Crystal Moore certainly does. Despite her spotless 20-year career, Moore was suddenly fired by the mayor on April 15th. MSNBC's Ari Melber discussed her story on The Last Word.
In the spotlight tonight, legal discrimination. In the year 2014, here in the U.S., it is still legal in 29 states to fire someone because of their sexual orientation. There's no federal law forbidding it either. ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, has been introduced in every Congress since 1994 except one, but it's never passed both chambers. And among those 29 states where it is legal to fire someone for being gay is South Carolina. And in the town of Latta, South Carolina, the town's former police chief, Crystal Moore, says she was fired because she's gay. The town's mayor, Earl Bullard, fired the chief last week after giving her 7 reprimands that same day. Moore has never before been disciplined in 20 years on the force. She says people in the community warned her that Mayor Bullard was actually out to get her because of her sexuality. And now, an audio tape of the comments, which are allegedly made by the mayor, is backing up that side of the story. MSNBC has obtained the tape from one of the town's council members, Jared Taylor. Taylor says this is a phone conversation that he had with Mayor Bullard.
I'll say this to anybody's face. I would much rather have somebody who drank too much, taking care of my child, than I had somebody who's lifestyle is questionable around children, because that ain't the damn way that it's supposed to be. I'm telling you, buddy, I don't agree with some of the lifestyles that I see portrayed, and I don't say anything because that's the way they want to live, but I'm not going to let my child be around. I'm not going to let 2 women stand up there and hold hands and let my child be aware of it. And I'm not going to see him do it with 2 men either. I'm not going to do it. Because that ain't the way the world works. Now, all of these people cowering down and saying that, oh, it's a different lifestyle, they can't have it. Okay, fine and dandy, but I don't have to look at it. And I don't want my child around it.
In a phone conversation with MSNBC yesterday, Mayor Bullard would neither confirm nor deny that voice you just heard on the tape was his own. He did say this, quote, "I can assure you the firing of Chief Crystal Moore has nothing to do with her sexual orientation," end quote. Further calls to the mayor's office today about the story went unanswered. We left messages also inviting him to come on the show and explain his side of the story. We did reach Latta Town Attorney Glenn Green and invited him on the show. He declined and wouldn't offer a statement either. Now joining us now is Latta, South Carolina's former chief of police, Crystal Moore. Tell us about the situation as it stands today and also about the history here. You had confronted the mayor about your sexuality at a town council meeting previously.
Right before he became mayor, he's only been mayor 4 months, and there were different rumors that were out in the community and the citizens that came and told me I needed to watch my back. Different council members were also told the same thing, and I kept on doing my job. That was the thing with me. I didn't let it hinder me. I continued to do the job that I'd been doing for Latta in the past years.
When you hear that audio recording, what is your reaction to that?
with all the rumors going around, and then for him to make those comments, it's just, it crushes me, because it has nothing, my personal life has nothing to do with the job that the town hired me to do, the job that I was doing for our citizens, protecting and serving our town.
Can you speak to what you were reprimanded for and that side of the story?
I was summoned into the mayor's office with the town attorney there, and out the blue, I received 7 reprimands at one time. Hmm. I at that time said I wanted to contact my attorney to talk to her about them, and he said, are you going to sign these reprimands? And I said, again, I would like to go contact my attorney. He said, are you going to sign these reprimands? And he stood up, and I said, no, sir, I'm going to talk to my attorney. And at that time, he said, your service is no longer needed. Turn in your badge, gun, and your keys.
Hmm. We've had a debate around the country, as I mentioned here in introducing you, about whether that we need federal protections because it is legal in so many places to fire someone for their orientation or their, you know, what an employer may believe their orientation is. What do you say to folks who think that we don't need those protections?
Regardless of where we work, what our jobs are, we need equal rights. We need to be treated fairly. The only thing I've done was my job, and I'm ready to get back and serve my town.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to thank all the citizens, and not just my citizens in town, for showing that they're behind me, but for all the people around our nation. I mean, it's overwhelming, all the support that I've gotten from everywhere, and especially our citizens from the town of Latta.
The citizens of Latta, South Carolina, will get their chance to weigh in on whether they want Crystal Moore to remain as their police chief. After her interview with MSNBC's Ari Melber, the town council voted unanimously in her support and blocked Mayor Bullard from replacing her for 60 days. The entire town will vote on a June 24th referendum to change to a council-strong, mayor-weak form of government. That would give the council the power to reinstate Moore.
I'm Diddly Day, an actor's life is gay. It's great to be a celebrity, an actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine, does as well, right here on this station.
Not all that long ago, a story about LGBT issues would never be covered by the mainstream media without being balanced by representatives from the state of homophobia. Times have changed, and a confrontation between ABC TV News commentator Cokie Roberts and religious right leaders Franklin Graham, Russell Moore, and Ralph Reed provides a fine example. The panel on the U.S. TV network Sunday morning news show This Week was moderated by Martha Raddatz.
The issue of gay marriage has been a big one. Reverend Graham, I want to ask you about this. Just a few months after taking office, Pope Francis spoke out on the issue of homosexuality, saying, if they accept the Lord and have goodwill, who am I to judge them? They shouldn't be marginalized. The tendency to homosexuality is not the problem. They're our brothers. You recently said that Congress could learn something from President Vladimir Putin on the issue of homosexuals and adoption.
Gays and lesbians cannot have children. Biologically, it's impossible.
Right. They can adopt, but...
Yeah, they can recruit. I think I agreed with Putin. I think protecting his nation's children, I think, was probably a pretty smart thing to do.
I suspect you still support that, what you said. You still support Putin.
No, I think Putin is going to do what's right for Russia. And not what's right for America, but for Russia. We used to have a president in this country that did what's right for this country, but we don't seem to have that right now. Putin is going to make these decisions that he thinks is best for the Russian people, and he thinks taking advantage of children, exploiting children, is wrong for any group, and so they've passed a law. So
Do you agree with what Reverend Graham said in that interview?
No, I agree that every child deserves both a mom and a dad. What I would disagree with is Vladimir Putin doing what's best for Russia. I have 2 children I adopted from a Russian orphanage, and I see the way that Mr. Putin has used Russian orphans as pawns. There are children and orphans in orphanages all over Russia who are waiting for parents. He has shut down adoption from America. So I don't see him as a sympathetic figure, but I would agree with Reverend Graham that a child needs both a mom and a dad.
And by the way, Martha, the social science on this is clear. This isn't about Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. This is about what's best for children here in the United States, and the social science is irrefutable. And it is that a child who grows up in a home without the mother and father present, and they both play very unique, procreative, nurturing, and socializing role, they're nine times more likely to end up dropping out of high school, they're five times more likely to end up in poverty, and they're three times more likely to end up addicted
to drugs and alcohol. Than a child raised in a home. And the fact that people are willing to take these children and raise them in a loving way is clearly better for these children.
Would you agree with that? Would you rather have a child sit in an orphanage and not have gay parents?
I think that the social science is just simply not in yet on same-sex couples, and I think the law has every right to set an ideal. And the ideal but is a all, mother and
what,
father
what the
and
reason,
an enduring,
the reason,
loving marriage
You know, the reason the numbers
children.
Have changed so dramatically on this, first of all, that ideal isn't true in all kinds of families, the divorce
sure.
rate being what it is and the abandoned mothers. But it is also true, I mean, if we got better men, we'd be in better shape. But the reason the numbers have changed so fast and so dramatically on this question of gay marriage, it's really like no other issue we've ever experienced, is because everybody in America now has experience with someone who is gay. People have come out of the closet and said, I am your brother, I am your sister. And then they have seen these families raising children and see these loving families.
But it hasn't changed any of your minds.
No, but
I'm going to switch on this last one back to you, Reverend Graham.
You know, when we talk about families and we talk about gay people, many people, maybe gays that are watching, you know, want to know, can God forgive me or can I go to heaven as a gay person? Absolutely. But the same for any of us, we have to repent of our sins and turn. A person cannot stay in adultery and be accepted by God. You have to repent.
What would you say to those children? What would you say to those children?
What children?
Gay parents.
Of gay
parents?
About
their parents.
That like any parent who's living in sin, if we repent, Franklin Graham is a sinner. I'm no better than a gay person. I'm a sinner. But I've been forgiven and I've turned from my sins. And for any person that's willing to repent and turn, God will forgive. And you can be gay and go to heaven, no question.
A lot of gay people feel that they are sinners, but not because they're gay.
ABC TV's Cokie Roberts stood up well to religious right leaders Franklin Graham, Russell Moore, and Ralph Reed as an LGBT ally. Nowadays, however, out journalists can bring their own perspective to mainstream news. For example, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow discussed two seemingly contradictory U.S. stories that broke on the same day last week.
Sometimes the arc of the moral universe bends toward justice. But you know what? Sometimes the arc of the moral universe runs around like a chicken with its head cut off. Consider these two stories, both simultaneously in the news right now, and both from the same country, from our beloved country. The first one is from Louisiana. Last year, there was this weird story that emerged out of East Baton Rouge, where the local sheriff had sent deputies to arrest people, something like a dozen people overall, basically for the crime of flirting with the intention to have sex. Now, to be clear, this was not people getting arrested for arranging to have sex for money. It wasn't a prostitution sting. There was no money involved. This was not people trying to have sex in public somewhere, like in a park or a public bathroom or something. What was happening in East Baton Rouge was essentially a cute undercover cop saying to a guy, hey, do you want to go home with me? And the guy responding, yes, I would like to go home with you. And then, boom, handcuffs, and it's not part of the date. It's off to jail. And the crime, the reason the sheriff's office gave for arresting people in this circumstance was that Louisiana has a state sodomy law. It's illegal to be gay, or at least to act gay in that particular way. The sheriff in East Baton Rouge said that under Louisiana state law, anything other than heterosexual genital contact only intercourse was illegal. So a guy agreeing to fool around with another guy, with the cute deputy, that would constitute a violation of the state's sodomy law. Agreeing to have sex was being charged as a crime in East Baton Rouge. Of course, the problem there is that sodomy laws themselves are illegal. Really famous Supreme Court case, Lawrence v. Texas, decided more than a decade ago, it's a really clear thing. States cannot have sodomy laws. You can't make it illegal to be gay. That word apparently took a long time to reach East Baton Rouge. Ultimately, after some national attention to what was going on there last year with all these arrests, the charges did get dropped against the dozen or so people who that sheriff arrested. He did agree reluctantly that he would expunge their records. But the amazing thing about that story right now is that that state sodomy law in Louisiana is still on the books. Even though they can't enforce it, it's totally, clearly unconstitutional. This week, there was a bill to repeal the law, finally, to take it off the books in Louisiana. But the Louisiana legislature voted not to. They voted to keep their sodomy law. And they did so in emphatic fashion, only 27 votes to repeal it and 67 votes to keep it on the books. That's the actual news in this 21st century America. Happy 21st century. But consider also this other story. In the same country, on the same day, Charles J. Cooper, he goes by Chuck Cooper. He's one of the most famous and accomplished ultra-conservative lawyers in the country. He, in fact, is the lawyer who did the oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court last year defending California's anti-gay Proposition 8. Mr. Cooper was the lawyer tasked with arguing against marriage equality to the Supreme Court. And he is a really good lawyer, and he did as best he could. But, of course, we all know that he lost that case, and California's anti-gay Prop 8 got struck down. Well, now, after that loss, as some of the last remaining marriage bans in the country continue to wend their way through the other courts, one of the things that Chuck Cooper is doing now is that he is planning his own daughter's wedding to a girl. It has been reported today that in an upcoming book, Chuck Cooper says his own views are evolving on gay marriage. He says he learned for the first time that his own daughter was gay during the legal battle over Prop 8. He loves his daughter. He supports her decision to get married. He is helping her plan her marriage. And this time last year, he was planning the oral arguments against gay marriage rights in the highest court in the land. I love this country. On the same day, in the same news, we have the lawyer who argued against gay marriage in a landmark gay marriage case himself deciding, I think I might kind of be okay with it now. Salute, mazel tov. I'm so proud of you, darling. On that same day, we also have the state legislature in Louisiana voting anew to retain that state's long since overruled and totally unenforceable law that makes it illegal to be gay. Just to make a point, they're keeping the law in the books. What a country. One big, lovely, confused country.
That was MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Rick Watts and Michelle Marie Gilkison contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by a grant from the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and by our listeners' supporters. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find the latest program information and links to our blog, Facebook, and Google Plus pages. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KFAR Knoxville, Tennessee, 3CR Whitton, Victoria, WRPI Troy, New York, and more than 200 community radio stations around the world, including the one you may be listening to right now. That's all. Stay tuned.